Windy City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
You're listening to the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 542. I'm Amy Matheny, and happy October. It is fall. It is deeply fall. And boy, all the Halloween stuff going up, and pumpkins, and scary black cats, and hay bales, and it's starting to feel like fall with a little jacket and a little scarf. And I wore my boots for the first time. These boots are made for walking now, probably up until about May. So it's just our reality, Chicagoans. And those of you who don't live in Chicago in the fair city, I hope you're experiencing a little bit of fall. It's kind of exciting. It's just feels, there's a lot of anticipation for me around fall. So we're deep into fall and deep into the year-end movies push. Man, there are films coming out all over the place. All the big Oscar contenders now start coming out as they head October, November into December, with Christmas Day always being a big deluge of wonderful films. But it's also time for the film festivals to begin here in Chicago. And of course, for our community, nothing is bigger than Reeling. And Reeling this year is back. Last year, many of you may recall that there was a hiatus, a self-imposed hiatus, that Reeling Chicago took to regroup and readdress and set in motion what would be this big new year. And so Richard Knight Jr., he is our wonderful queer film expert. He is the new programming director, which you got to know, it's going to be really good, really diverse. And he is a cut to the chase, wants a good story, wants a good film. Richard Knight Jr., with an incredible history of reviewing all kinds of films throughout many decades, and one of our very own, one of our Windy City Times and Windy City Queercast very own, will be heading up program direction for the festival. So I'm so excited that Richard Knight Jr. is here on the podcast today to give us an overview of all the films to anticipate that are happening for this week of November. And if you do not live in the Chicagoland area, this is a great week to come and experience all that is Chicago, all that is queer film. Go see some movies, enjoy our city, enjoy fall in Chicago, and make a trip, plan a trip to come here as a destination during Reeling 2013. So it's a big show with Richard Knight Jr. I hope you enjoy it. And we're also going to be telling you a lot of news stories. There's a lot of news today. GLBT News, the theater scene is equally booming and bursting at the seams. Lots of shows opening up and running that you need to not miss this fall season. And wow, I'm excited. It's fall. Let's fall into this show.
Ballet meets Bollywood in the Joffrey Ballet premiere of La Baya Dare, The Temple Dancer, choreographed by Stanton Welch, with a magnificent score by Ludwig Minkus, arranged by John Lanchberry. Set in India, this visually stunning tale of mystery, vengeance, and eternal love features live snakes, gorgeous costumes, lavish sets, and breathtaking dancing. This is truly one of the greatest 19th century ballets, highlighted by the Kingdom of Shades scene, one of the most mesmerizing classical performances in all of ballet. Don't miss the Joffrey Ballet premiere of La Baya Dare, The Temple Dancer, October 16th through the 27th at the Auditorium Theater of Roosevelt University. Tickets start at just $31. Call 800-982-2787 or visit joffrey.org.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is The Week in News. Same-sex partners of state employees will be considered as immediate family under action taken Thursday by the Alaska State Personnel Board. The board adopted new wording and regulations that allow state employees to take leave due to a serious health condition involving a same-sex partner, and include same-sex partners in the definition of immediate family for that purpose.
The ExxonMobil Corporation, which has drawn much criticism for policies related to its gay and lesbian workers, said that it would extend health insurance and other employee benefits to married same-sex couples effective October 1st. The move is a 180-degree turn for the company, which had defied pressure from human rights groups, pension funds, and some of its own shareholders that had asked the company to protect gay and lesbian employees from discrimination in the U.S. for many years.
A New Jersey state court ruled that the state must permit same-sex couples to get married. The ruling resulted from a lawsuit six same-sex couples brought. They contended it was unfair to allow them to only enter into civil unions now that the U.S. Supreme Court has decided the federal government must recognize same-sex marriages in the states where they are legal. The decision by Judge Mary Jacobson of Mercer County Superior Court picks up where the New Jersey Supreme Court left off in 2006 when it ruled that same-sex couples were entitled to all the rights and benefits that opposite-sex couples get.
Seattle now has the highest concentration of gay couple households among the U.S. large cities. Recently released estimates from the U.S. Census Bureau show that in 2012, 2.6% of Seattle households were gay couples. San Francisco ranked second with 2.5%. And at the opposite end of the spectrum is El Paso, Texas, which has the lowest concentration of same-sex couples.
A Caribou Coffee in Northbrook, Illinois, ordered a window decoration supporting a Gay Straight Alliance, or GSA, removed. Student groups at Glenbrook North High School have long teamed with local businesses to promote their causes. The Caribou Coffee on Shermer Road painted one of its windows with a sign supporting the school's GSA, but Caribou's corporate headquarters soon demanded it be removed. A school district spokesperson said the school was disappointed by the company's action.
In Mississippi, a woman is suing the leaders of a northern town, accusing them of conspiring to prevent her from opening a gay bar by denying an application for a business license. Pat P.J. Newton filed the federal lawsuit October 1st against the mayor and six aldermen of Shannon, a town of about 1,700 people. Newton, who is a lesbian, is seeking monetary damages and an order to allow her to open the business, as well as attorney's fees and court costs. The Southern Poverty Law Center is representing the Memphis, Tennessee woman in the lawsuit filed in the U.S. District Court in Aberdeen, Mississippi.
Three West Virginia families filed suit in a federal district court wanting marriage equality and claiming violation of their 14th Amendment rights of liberty and equal protection. Same-sex marriage is illegal by law in West Virginia, but in 2009 and 2010, the state legislature refused to add an amendment to the state's constitution banning marriage of same-sex couples.
Facing a wave of open defiance to church law, the top court of the United Methodist Church is set to consider rulings challenging church teaching on homosexuality. The United Methodist Judicial Council will decide if church ministries can advocate for the acceptance of homosexuality, whether ministers can officiate at same-sex ceremonies, and if a regional conference can urge members to ignore portions of Methodist law. The rulings made by regional conferences are among 17 items the court will consider at its October 23rd through 26th meeting in Baltimore.
Ted Olson and David Boies, the bipartisan legal team who successfully argued Hollingsworth v. Perry, the Prop 8 case at the Supreme Court, signed on to a pending federal case that aims to strike down Virginia's constitutional amendment banning same-sex marriage. The Virginia case, Bostick v. Rainey, was filed in the U.S. District Court for Virginia's Eastern District on behalf of two couples who contend that the Virginia Marriage Amendment violates the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment of the U.S. Constitution.
The late U.S. Senator Joseph McCarthy, the Republican from Wisconsin, and two other former members of the U.S. Senate will go on trial October 23rd in Washington, D.C. for the alleged role in the 1954 suicide of Wyoming Senator Lester C. Hunt. McCarthy, Stiles Bridges, the Republican from New Hampshire, and Herman Welker, Republican from Idaho, all deceased, are charged with a criminal conspiracy to blackmail Hunt, who died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound in his Senate office in 1954.
In world news, two same-sex couples have become the first to be legally married in Colombia. Julio Alberto Cantor Barbón and William Alberto Castro Franco united in civil matrimony, as well as Elizabeth Castillo and Claudia Zaya.
Serbian authorities banned a gay pride march in Belgrade for the third consecutive year because of threats made by right-wing groups. Top security and state officials decided to ban the event, originally slated for September 28th, because they feared a repeat of violence in 2010 when extremists attacked a gay pride march in the Serbian capital.
In Bangladesh, a lesbian couple from the Shikhlati district were jailed because of their relationship. Lucky and Mishti married and have reportedly been living together for 8 months. However, authorities were recently tipped off about the couple and detained them at their home. A case was filed against them under Section 290 for unsocial activities. That section relates to offenses affecting the public health, safety, convenience, decency, and morals.
The United Nations held its first ever ministerial meeting on LGBT rights. 11 countries signed on to a resolution stating those who are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender must enjoy the same human rights as everyone else. At the meeting, U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry also announced a $1 million contribution from the Netherlands to the Global Equality Fund, a global initiative to support gay rights that former Secretary Hillary Clinton first announced in 2011.
In entertainment news, HBO Documentary Films kicked off a weekly series of provocative specials on October 7th with the premiere of Valentine Road, which examines the shooting of 15-year-old Lawrence Larry King by Brandon McInerney, on whom King reportedly had a crush. The film explores the murder of the teenager, the circumstances that led to the crime, as well as its aftermath. Valentine Road will air throughout October on HBO.
Three-time Tony winner Bernadette Peters will head the cast of A Bed and a Chair, a New York love affair, a collaboration between Tony-winning composer-lyricist Stephen Sondheim and jazz musician-composer Wynton Marsalis for New York City Center. This encore special event will run November 13th through 17th and will feature more than two dozen Sondheim compositions, each piece newly reimagined by Marsalis.
Dina and Michael Lohan, the parents of Lindsay Lohan, have been banned from the actress's OWN, or Oprah Winfrey, network reality show. The Oprah Helms project, featuring the embattled actress, who is now 27, is set to be strictly about Lohan's recovery and attempts to resuscitate her acting career.
Doran Ophir, casting behind such shows as RuPaul's Drag Race, A-List, and the Emmy-nominated Girls Who Like Boys Who Like Boys, has announced the official casting for a docu-soap reality series entitled Trans America. The show seeks to explore the lives and loves of a group of dynamic and fashionable trans women. Trans individuals 18 and over who are interested in being on the show should visit transamericacasting.com.
Out gay statistician Nate Silver, who runs the 538 blog, will speak at a panel at SX Sports, a new sports-themed component of Austin's annual South by Southwest Festival, March 7th through the 9th in 2014. South by Southwest, which began as a music festival attended by hundreds in the 1980s, has grown into one of the premier entertainment and media gatherings in the world, with attendance numbering 70,000 people.
On October 27th, Netflix will carry the documentary Bridegroom, which focuses on Shane and Tom, two young men in a loving, committed relationship that was cut short by a tragic accident. The movie, from producer Shane Bitney Crone and writer-director Linda Bloodworth Thompson of Designing Women, won the Audience Awards for Best Documentary at the 2013 Tribeca Film Festival, the 2013 Toronto Inside Out Festival, and the 2013 Little Rock Film Festival, as well as Outstanding Documentary Feature at the 2013 Outfest in L.A.
And that's the weekend news brought to you by Windy City Times.
I'm Amy Armstrong.
I'm Freddie Allen.
And you're listening to WindyCityQueerCast.com.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Million Dollar Quartet, Chicago's hit rock and roll musical, is now extended through January. Relive the legendary night Johnny Cash, Jerry Lee Lewis, Carl Perkins, and Elvis Presley played together for the first and only time. Don't miss the show the Chicago Tribune calls a hit. The Chicago Sun-Times calls the show musically dazzling from first beat to last. Million Dollar Quartet, now playing at the Apollo Theater. Visit Ticketmaster.com.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club.
Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
For the week of October 7th, 2013, you are in Chicago's Culture Club. It's an adventure full of charming heroes, sneering villains, love lost and found, and a setting perfect for the Halloween season as Remy Bumbo Theater presents Jane Austen's Northanger Abbey at the Greenhouse Theater Center through November 10th. It's Jane Austen at her most frolicsome, taking on the pop culture of her day with fun and romance. Get your tickets now at remybumbo.org.
Winner of the Great Gay Play Contest, Directions for Restoring the Apparently Dead by Martin Casella is an intriguing drama by one of America's rising playwrights. Two men, one gay, one straight, who have been lifelong friends, take a trip to the English Lake Country. What happens next will surprise, delight, and move you. Directions for Restoring the Apparently Dead from Pride Films and Plays is playing at Stage 773, 1225 West Belmont through November 10th. For tickets, visit stage773.com.
Escape Ordinary, experience extraordinary. Following a record-breaking 50th anniversary season, Giordano Dance Chicago returns to Harris Theater for Music and Dance with another electrifying season of performances October 25th and 26th. With world premieres by Roni, Koresh, and the GDC resident choreographer Autumn Ekman, as well as audience favorites. Get your tickets at harristheaterchicago.org.
Lifeline Theater proudly presents The Killer Angels, based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel of the Battle of Gettysburg. The Killer Angels is playing Thursday through Sundays through October 27th. For tickets and more, visit lifelinetheater.com.
Signs of Life, a new musical drama about the human spirit, runs now through October 27th at the Zajac McVeigh Theater at the Biograph. Signs of Life is based on the true story of one of the most fascinating and least known stories of the Holocaust. Shows the struggles of the captives as they try to expose the truth through art and music, and in doing so, discover the humanity they all share. Signs of Life through October 27th. For ticket information, visit victorygarden.org.
Dive headlong into a theatrical fable that celebrates the power of imagination. The Old Man and the Moon is an epic new mythology about a man whose job it is to collect spilled light to refill the leaking moon. Resonant storytelling, spirited indie folk music, and inventive puppetry from Pigpen Theater Company create a theatrical experience that you don't want to miss. The Old Man and the Moon is now playing at Writers Theater in Glencoe, just minutes from Chicago on the Edenser Metro. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org.
Chicago Shakespeare Theater season kicks off with Cyrano de Bergerac. Star stage and screen, Harry Groener plays a nobleman whose gift for romance is shadowed by an all-too-prominent nose. This sweeping production features stunning swordplay and some of the most witty, touching lines ever written. Get your tickets at chicagoshakes.com. Cyrano de Bergerac is playing now through November 10th. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
Doorways to the north, handshakes to the south, pumping iron hearts, blood in your mouth.
The Chicago LGBT International Film Festival is back. It is returning. It is recharged. And it's its 31st year of this amazing festival here in Chicago. So if you are a film lover, if you love the GLBT topics and GLBT films, this festival is a great way to come to town, see lots of movies, or if you're in town, plan to spend really great days, nights, mornings, afternoons in the theater, seeing the best of what is going on around the world in GLBT filmmaking. And we are so fortunate to have a wonderful vantage point of our very own Richard Knight Jr., who's not been on the show in a while, but has been our movie and film expert since the Queercast began. He is also the director of the film Scrooge and Marley, shot right here in Chicago. And he is the new programming director for Reeling this year, and they could not have a better person in that seat, making sure that the best films are coming to Chicago for you to see. Hey, Richard, how are you?
I'm really, really good after that introduction. Thank you, darling.
I get you teed up really well, and now you're going to knock it out of the park. So tell me the what is the history of Reeling as you know it? I mean, it's 31 years this year. That's incredible. I imagine that it started from humble beginnings to get this big.
Yeah, actually, Reeling is the second oldest LGBT film festival in the world. It's second only to Frameline in San Francisco. And what's more amazing, and this may be the first, is that Brenda Webb, who founded the festival, is still the executive director and still the driving force behind it.
Wow.
So every day I kind of stand back and say, how have you done this? It's just amazing to me, the amount of work. Mm-hmm. And this is obviously a person who has extraordinary passion for the festival. And this is also why I'm so thrilled that Brenda Webb is being inducted into the Chicago Gay and Lesbian Hall of Fame as a friend of the community.
Yeah. Well, she definitely is a friend of the community, right? Long overdue.
Yeah.
It is amazing. Sometimes we hear people who haven't been inducted and you think 30 years, you know, they've been preserving and archiving and creating a forum for new work and new artists to be seen. And that's an extraordinary, extraordinary thing whenever you can help lend voice to GLBT voices.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So tell me there. Some people may know this if you live in Chicago. Some people in your big film buff, but you know there was a year skipped last year. Reeling took a year off, and so the theme this year is returning and recharged this November for the festival. What has been done in that year off, and what was the intention of the year?
Well, I'm not 100% sure what was done. This is my first year as programming director. I understand from talking to Brendan and other folks that it was a very, very difficult decision. But Rhythm is like a lot of film festivals. It's a nonprofit. It's run by a few individuals and a lot of volunteers. And I think they took a look at the bottom line, at the numbers, and made a very difficult decision and said, okay, we need to kind of pull back and sort of re-examine and look at things. One thing that's different is the festival is not as long. It's down from 10 days to 7 days. Mm-hmm. The quantity of films is less. I think it was 60-some in a typical year. Now we're down to about 44. Mm-hmm. But I hate to use the word less because I just think what we're looking at is maybe some new realities, and also some of this also has to do with the social aspect, too, that, you know, just film festivals in general and film in general, you know, trying to compete for audiences.
Right.
Trying to get anybody to go to a movie now as opposed to watching it on their phone.
Right. Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah.
So imagine a fringe thing like an LGBT festival, which is so far from the mainstream. Mm. So there are bound to be some struggles. What excites me, of course, is that Reeling, you know, the absence was really noticed.
Yes.
I saw this as an observer, as the film critic for Windy City Times, because this is the one time of year when a lot of these independent and not-so-independent LGBT films play Chicago.
Right.
You know, a lot of stuff never was shown here last year because the festival wasn't here.
Mm. So, and luckily, I mean, it was obviously, I think, probably for you being somebody making your first feature film in your hometown with Chicago talent and crew and everything too, there was not the forum to have the film festival. And I think that also, because Scrooge and Marley became such a community-wide event, it was noticeable, right? That there wasn't the festival to kind of
launch
the film festival.
Sure, it's kind of, you know, maybe like training for the Olympics, and then the Olympics get canceled, or, you know, anything like that.
Or they happen in Russia.
yeah. Well, we'll see what happens there. Oh,
exactly.
My gosh.
Well, the festival, you said, it's going to be a week long. It's November 7th through the 14th, and it doesn't feel like November and kind of deep fall to me until this film festival hits. And you're all over the city. Can you tell us about some of the locations in which you know, from one end to the next, where the film festival is, will have hosted events?
Sure. Well, we're very happy to be returning to the Music Box, the historic Music Box, for our opening night. Very happy about GBF, which stands for Gay Best Friend, which is this really, really fun, audience-friendly comedy. It's kind of like a Clueless, Heathers, Mean Girls, with the major K characters. A lot of young, well-known talent in it. Michael J. Willett, Sasha, I can never say her last name, the girl from Pretty Little Liars, the young lady.
Oh, yeah.
Molly Tarloff, this actress from Desperate Housewives, Michael J. Willett, Paul Iacono. And then we have Megan Mullally, Natasha Lyonne, Jonathan Silverman, all in this really fun picture, which is all about the Heathers, you know, find out that the new fashion accessory is the gay best friend, so we all have to find one.
I found mine in high school. Most girls do.
Right, and they find the one out gay guy in school. Oh, it's really darling. So that's opening night, and then we're going to go to the Laugh Factory, which I'm really excited about, you know, for some gay comedy from stand-up comics. Think perhaps maybe Mr. Scott Duff might be involved.
Mr. Skadoff. He will probably be there. He's hosting in a bow tie most nights there at the Laugh Factory.
I am hopeful. You know, he's on my list to call. Scott, if you're listening, please call me. and then our primary venue for the festival, and we're really excited, is the Logan Theater. We're going over to Logan Square.
I love the Logan Theater. It was my new find this past year.
Yeah, they refurbished another historic theater, independently owned. Mm-hmm. They put in a lounge and a bar. It's really, really cool.
They have like a cabaret space. You could sit down and twinkle the ivories in there.
Yes, I could. I'll do that, too. You know, the festival has been at the Landmark Century for a long time, and, you know, due to some scheduling problems, it just couldn't be this year. And then this possibility came up, and I cannot begin to tell you, we are so thrilled by the reception that we've had from the theater, from the neighborhood. The theater hosted something with business owners. The alderman was there. The state rep came. Yeah, it's been really, really delightful. So we're thrilled to be there for most of the fest, which would be Friday the 8th. Through Thursday the 14th. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, did you want me to talk about highlights or just keep going with some of the other locations? You tell me what you want.
Well, tell me some of the other locations. And I mean, if there's a special event at that location, tell me, and then we'll keep going on.
We have satellite screenings. We're going to do one at the Block Cinema in Evanston, a documentary about senior LGBT folks. Mm-hmm. We're very excited to be partnering with the DuSable Museum of African American History. Mm. We're going to show Whoopi Goldberg's film about Moms Mabley, I Got Something to Tell You, which is going to be great for HBO. Whoopi has taped a special message for the reeling audience and the DuSable audience.
Fantastic.
I'm very excited. We're going to go to a show, Toon Central, Sidetrack, and for reeling's 31st anniversary and Sidetrack's anniversary, which is 31 years, we're going to show the 31st anniversary edition of Victor Victoria. It's going to be Sing Along, Victor Victoria, so come and sing, and we're going to do live commentary courtesy of the funniest man in the world, Mr. Bruce Vilanch.
Oh, fantastic. How are you going to fit everybody in there?
I don't know, but doesn't that sound like it's just going to be a hoot?
The best.
Oh, baby, me play me, da-da-da-da. So,
Used to have many of my audition songs from Victor Victoria. They should have known I was a gay man trapped in a lesbian's body right then.
Yeah, you better be there front and center.
I will. I can still sing La Jazz Hot.
Say again?
I can still sing La Jazz Hot. It was one of my numbers.
Well, of course you can. Who can? About 20 years ago. And then we are very excited to be partnering with the Chicago Public Library.
Nice.
We're going to host a free screening with them at the Edgewater branch of a really powerful documentary called Involuntary Departure, which is about a gay couple who are forced to leave the country over, you know, oh gosh, what's the whole passport thing, the whole immigration thing.
Right,
thank you.
Sure.
I don't get out much, you know. And we have a couple other things that are in the works that we haven't still figured out yet, so I can't talk about them. So we may have a few other satellite screenings, but again, our primary location is going to be the Logan.
Yeah, that's just amazing. What a great lineup, but also taking it into the neighborhoods of, you know, Boys Town, Edgewater, and even on the South Side. I love that. You said there are going to be 44 films this year. Have you announced what the big closing film is? It normally like bookended with like an opening night and a closing night party in film. You said that GBF is going to be the opening. Is there going to be a big closing this year?
We actually have three closings. We're doing LGT, and the B can go to all of them. The lesbian film I'm very excited about. It's a Brazilian film called Reaching for the Moon. It stars Miranda Otto from the Lord of the Rings trilogy. It's a biopic where she plays the poet Elizabeth Bishop. It's about her affair with this Brazilian architect who created the beachfront park by Rio. It's set in the 50s. It's absolutely a tragic romance. It's one of my all-time favorite lesbian movies. I loved it.
Oh,
my gosh. It's so sensual and just beautiful. Beautiful performances. I just luxuriated in the movie. I can't wait to see that with an audience. So that's our lesbian film. I'm really excited about this trans film. It's a stand-up comedy film produced by Margaret Cho. Ian Harvey, superhero. Ian Harvey is the world's first female-to-trans male stand-up comic, and he is funny as fuck. I said it on the air.
You can, because it's a podcast. There you go.
We're on the yes, we're on the podcast. Like, oh my gosh, Brenda's like probably just having a heart attack, but I don't care. He's really, really funny. It's and so has such a great sense of humor about his journey from female to male. And Ian's going to be with us.
Oh,
I'm so excited for the screening, and we'll have a party and that kind of thing. And then our third film, which I'm also, again, very excited about, it's from Germany. It's Ludwig II, which is about the Mad King of Bavaria, who was gay. You know, the king who was so in love with Wagner and opera and art and kind of had a thing for this hunky horse master. Mm-hmm. And it's a big, sprawling $70 million epic that was shot at Ludwig's castles and in the grotto and his private island. And it's very rare, from what I've seen, to see an epic, sprawling historical picture focused on a gay character.
Yeah.
Now, that's not the primary storyline, but it's very definitely there.
Yeah.
So those are our three closing night films, and then we have a big party that we're going to do at the Stand Mansion, which is near the theater, and, further details to be announced.
Now, will you have to pick which of those three films you're going to see? Are they happening simultaneously, or...?
I believe two of them will be happening simultaneously.
Okay.
And, some of that's still being worked out, but
yeah.
I think two of them, and then one of them, I want to say Ludwig, you'll have a chance to see if you miss it the first time.
Gotcha.
And that's a long picture. It's over 2.5 hours, but oh my gosh, it's so beautiful. And this young German actor who plays him, he's tremendous in the film.
Mm. How many submissions do you get? How many people want to be a part of this film festival? And are there different categories in which people can submit, or they just have to submit a GLBT film of any kind?
Well, it seems like I've looked through 5,000 submissions. I've been at this since May, watching queer cinema, which is, it's horrible for me.
Mm-hmm.
Once you do the call for entries, pretty much anybody who wants to enter a film, is willing, can pay the fee and, go through the process is certainly able to do that. Because it's an LGBT film fest, you would think most of the stuff that the audiences will want to see would certainly have some pretty strong LGBT content or themes.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes people say, you know what, I made this movie that has nothing to do with the LGBT audience. I'm not gay, but I'm going to submit it anyway, just for, shits and giggles, why not?
Mm-hmm.
And you still look at them and say, okay, well, maybe this doesn't quite work for this festival, but good luck to you, sir or madam, and maybe try again.
Yeah. Are there lots of Chicago submissions? And if there are we going to see some Chicago filmmakers in the festival?
There are always, not always, I don't know, because I haven't been through this process before on this level, but I'm assuming there are usually a lot of Chicago submissions, and absolutely we're going to see some Chicago things. I'm very psyched about the new film from Stephen Combe, the writer-director of The Wise Kids, his critically hailed 2011 movie, which was opening night of reeling in 2011.
Yep.
We're going to be showing his follow-up, Black Box.
I know lots of actors in it.
Well, and you're going to love it because it's about the theater.
Yeah.
It's a really twisty, dark, very thought-provoking film about a college grad student who directs a student production that she bases on kind of like a Stephen King horror novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the advisor doesn't really want her to do it, but she kind of has this thing for it. And then as you go through the process, and you know this because you're an actor, And I started as an actor. Once you get into that black box, that empty rehearsal space, stuff can start to happen, like mm-hmm. that doesn't happen in the real world because mm-hmm. you're in that make-believe or something. It's, you know, Brent and I were talking about this. You know, Stephen's ability with actors is mm-hmm. like just kind of jaw-dropping. You sit there like, how does he get those performances?
Mm-hmm.
It's really, really a wonderful thing. I'm very excited about that. Austin Pendleton has a kind of like a cameo. Well, it's actually more than a cameo. He plays the writer of the book who comes to observe rehearsals.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you are looking at somebody who's been in the business for, what, 50 years, and
right.
what that person does, you can just sort of see that he's, not that he's elevating the other actors, but, you know, when you're around somebody like that, you can sort of see that people kind of step it up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really psyched about that. I'm very happy that we're going to also have the Chicago premiere of In Bloom, which was this entirely Chicago-shot piece by this director, writer, Chris Berkmeyer. I call it kind of like a gay mumblecore.
Mm.
It's these two kind of 20-something guys who, you know, like one works like at the Staples and the other guy is kind of like a, you know, sort of a amateur drug dealer. And they hang out at parties and they, you know, they smoke dope and they play on the internet and they go to dinner and they do all this sort of stuff. But there's this whole sub thing about this serial killer kind of stalking Boys Town, that there's this kind of unease that also kind of permeates the film. Really, really interesting, cool stuff. And actually, a guy from Scrooge and Marley is one of the producers, Robert Puckhammer.
Oh.
Yeah, which is very, very cool, Rob. So that's going to play at the festival. Certainly that's local. Very psyched about the feature version of Wendy Jo Carlton's Easy Abby web series
mm-hmm.
is going to play the festival. And, I mean, come on, how many wonderful local actors are part of that? And what I like about it is that there's material that you did not see in her web series, which I guess is very, very popular. And it really plays, you know, the way she's cut it together and added stuff and fixed, you know, not fix it up, but, you know, it's a feature.
Yeah.
Because I never saw the web stuff. And Fozzie Merz is in it, Laura Chernicki. I can't think of the name of the lead actress, but she's really funny. And she's like such a horn dog. I love it. You know, it's like she's behaving like a guy. You know, she just wants to go out and get laid, man.
Yeah. We do, from time to time, us lesbians. It's not all about
wanting to braid each other's hair
and anything, you know?
Exactly. I mean, you know, it's like such a guy thing. It's like so cool as a gay man or just a man. It's like, okay, women that certainly have these urges and act on them too. So I'm very psyched about that. Those are all local things. And I know we're going to show Nathan Adloff, the writer, director of Nate and Margaret. There's mm-hmm. this really interesting, cool, thought-provoking little short called Angel Dust that we're going to show at the festival. So those are some local things.
Wow. And are there lots of countries represented this year? It is an international film festival, so will there be, you know, a lot of international influence in the fest?
Well, there is definitely some. I don't think there's as much as maybe there has been in the past. I skewed toward, you know, some of this is that maybe the films are coming through a distributor,
mm-hmm.
so the festival can't afford, mm-hmm. you know, to bring them in, because once you get to a distributor, it's like you're paying a screening fee. I mean, mm-hmm. this is, you know, we don't talk about this, but that's another thing for a nonprofit that you have to contend with. I'm going to just quickly look at my list. I have this really wonderful French film that won the Queer Palme d'Or.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. It's called Stranger by the Lake. It's very sexy. It's very twisted. And it's all set in this cruising spot in France. And it's about a guy who just goes every day to cruise and have illicit sex, you know, anonymous sex, and he talks to this man he meets on the beach. And he has this thing for this, you know, this guy. He watches him every day, and he wants to be with him so badly. And then he finally gets to be with them, and then he sees the guy commit this crime. And then he has to decide, okay, do I keep having sex with the guy? Because I saw him do this terrible thing. Mm. Oh, but he was really good. So, you know? So that's really cool. I've got a really compelling documentary from Israel. Mm-hmm. Gay Palestinians who, of course, cannot be in their country, can't be in it. Their country, and then they get kicked out of, you know, Jerusalem because they're Palestinian. That's, I think, something that audiences will really, really like. I have a wonderful film, I keep saying I, the festival, a really twisted, I love this movie, it's from Spain, it's called Animals,
uh-huh.
And it's like a gay Donnie Darko.
Oh my gosh, this...
Very dark black comedy, sort of-ish, about this teenage boy whose mother's died, and his only friend is this talking teddy bear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like Ted. He's not a he's like this serious little bear that plays the drums and follows him around. And then there's this whole other twisted thing about this girl. Did she die? Did she not die? Did she disappear? Did she, there's a whole murder thing. I've talked a lot about these kind of serial girl things, too, haven't I?
Mm-hmm.
There's a film from Cuba. There's a called Last Match, which is a very kind of sexy time sort of thing. There's a German film called Free Fall about these two police cadets who fall in love with each other. I absolutely adore this movie from Germany called 101, the story of Cyber Sissy and Baby Jane.
Uh-huh.
Which is about a female illusionist, kind of like a Lee Bowery artist type, who befriends this young dwarf, I guess is, I'm trying to think of the PC correct term, who has all these physical challenges, and Cyber Sissy turns him into the world's smallest drag queen. And he becomes this fabulous international sensation who travels to Ibiza, goes to New York, and hangs out with Amanda Lepore. And visually, it's stunning. And Jojo Baby is going to come and host that for us.
Oh,
so.
Wow. So do you think that, you know, here you are, you're programming, you review all movies, not just queer movies, even though you do a lot to make sure queer movies get seen and written about and talked about and lifted up. But are we starting to see right now a more and more mainstreaming of queer films? It just seems like there's, you know, we're on the advent right now of Blue is the Warmest Color getting so much attention. A film called Concussion getting a lot of attention. These are both lesbian films. But this feels like something that maybe started back even with Brokeback and that there is now an opportunity at film festivals around the world that maybe aren't GLBT to mainstream these films and make them human stories that happen to be about GLBT characters.
Well, I think audiences are hungry for these stories. I think the audience is ahead of the money people because, unfortunately, you know, the movies you're talking about, those are still kind of fringe pictures. Of course, the Blue is the Warmest Color won, you know, the Palme d'Or, and it's been all the buzz and the rage. And I loved Concussion, this lesbian-themed movie that did so well on the LGBT Film Fest circuit and is opening, again, only in New York and L.A., it's not opening here. Now, you can see it here on demand or on iTunes,
right?
Which maybe is the way things are going to go. So in some ways, it's certainly, you know, mainstream audiences are more receptive to LGBT stories or characters.
Mm-hmm.
you know,
I guess in a weird way, nice too for people who don't live in major cities and, you know, live in a smaller community to be able to have access to see these films. I mean, you know, we used to go to our video stores back in the day and get your video of primarily foreign films when I came out if you wanted to see gay and lesbian content, right? And And then now, you know, there's festivals if you live in big cities, but if you live in small town, to know that you could same day as theaters, you know, get to watch a film. It is interesting that that is going to propel our stories forward even more, kind of like television is, you know, and the movie theaters, as we're saying, you know, too, it propels, you know, you kind of feed the hunger a little bit and start seeing that there's an audience for this, these films.
Yes. And certainly, you know, things like Netflix, you know, where they have a whole section dedicated to LGBT cinema. I mean, we have some pictures in the festival, like Ludwig II, like another film that I really love called Burning Blue, which is kind of like a gay Top Gun. It's set in, I mean, it really is, and that's what it looks like.
That's all you have to say to sell tons of tickets to that film, the gay Top Gun.
It's the gay Top Gun, and the three actors who star in it, this actor model from New York, Trent Ford, Morgan Spector from Boardwalk Empire, and Rob Mays from, I want to say, The Vampire Diaries, all three of these guys are coming for the screening, okay?
Oh, wow.
Which is great. That picture has been sold to Lionsgate, and they're going to release it, I believe, you know, early next year. And I'm going to guess that they'll probably, you know, maybe do some theatrical, and then it'll be available on demand the same way. And I think a straight audience will appreciate the story. It's, as I said, it's kind of a don't ask, don't tell kind of thing. But, you know, the problem with all movies with the business is that there's so much emphasis now on genre, 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 as, you know, with regard to, you know, these blockbuster sort of comic book superhero movies. And that's a category that gay characters haven't really broken through.
Yep.
Now, we know that there are gay characters in those movies because all you have to do is look at X-Men and you know those people are gay, several
right.
of them.
Right.
You know, you just have to look at Green Lantern or some of those things. Those people are, you know, those characters are gay. 300, a lot of those men are gay. But, you know, and we have a number of films in the festival like Truth, this kind of erotic crime thriller that really kind of mirrors, you know, a quote-unquote mainstream film. You know, there are, I think that's one thing that I personally am really excited about in LGBT cinema is to see more of these kind of genre pictures, you know, murder mysteries, noirs, you know, musicals, you know, like the movie we made, the Christmas movie,
right.
the Scrooge and Marley. Until we can maybe get more of these characters, get some of these actors to come out or change audiences' taste, you know?
Well, we're doing it one story at a time, you know, and letting people have insight and removing the ignorance and taking down the boundaries by letting people see our stories and hear our stories. And this is a big part of what the about what these kinds of festivals do. You know, allowing these films to be shown in larger venues and advertised in a part of a series that, you know, gets the attention. And also allows, I'm sure, all these artists and filmmakers to collaborate and share ideas and, you know, all be a part of something together, which I think lends some power and impact as well. Well, the festival and its 31st year, I can tell you it's going to be the best festival yet because Richard Knight Jr. is programming it, and that's what I can tell you. It will be fun and epic and moving and crushing and silly, and it will be everything. He will have something for all kinds of films that you love to watch. And the Tickets go on sale here in the following week on October 14th. And the website is up, reelingfilmfestival.org. That's reelingfilmfestival.org. We'll have that linked in our show notes. That's the best way, you know, now to get your full lineup and things, opening night parties and after parties and conversations and discussions and what stars and actors and directors will be attending the festival. That will all be there. And so you do not want to miss this. The big kickoff is November the 7th. That's going to be at the Music Box Theater, the big night for GBF with a party and many people in the film, you know, attending, and it's going to plow on through all the way through the 14th with events at Logan Theater and all the other theaters that were mentioned. So you want to go ahead and start charting out what films you're going to go see. It's a great social thing to do. You know, go see a movie. I love when to do a festival like that where you like go see a movie, then go have a late lunch, then come back and watch another movie, and then go have cocktails. You know, you can really make a day of it. And
And we're definitely with the Saturday, Sunday. You know, it's all day. We start at noon on Saturday and go all the way through to midnight. Mm-hmm. You know, Sunday pretty close to that.
Yeah.
So, yes. There are so many different kinds of films that I have not even touched on. So, absolutely, please look at the schedule.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's always some amazing documentaries as well. And I know you've got some of those.
I Am Divine, our centerpiece, is wonderful.
I Am Divine. That has to be about Divine, correct?
It is. And it's everything you ever thought about Divine and so much more. This, of course, was the star of Female Trouble, Pink Flamingos, you know, Hairspray.
Yes.
A really, really entertaining but complex portrait of this 300-pound drag queen. We talk about somebody who, you know, came through adversity and turned it into an asset.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we are glad that the second oldest film festival and honored to have it here in Chicago and glad that it is back this year, recharged. So get your tickets. The Reeling Film Festival has returned, folks. It's this next month, November 7th through the 14th. Get your tickets now at reelingfilmfestival.org. And Richard, we'll see you at the movies.
Yes, but do not call me on the 15th of November.
That's when we send you to Aruba, right?
You're pretty much.
With a pina colada. All right. Thanks, Richard. It's so great to have you with us.
Thank you, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today. 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you make your plans, get your tickets, get the schedule, and circle your little schedule, plan and outline when you're going to be a part of all the excitement that is Reeling. I know as Richard was talking, I was making notes going, I got to go see that one. Not going to miss this one. So make your plans. And coming up, Scott Duff going to be on the podcast. We haven't had him on the couch in a while. We're going to be dishing about the South. We're going to be talking about the upcoming episode of Glee, which will be airing this week as a montage to Corey Monteith. Also, we're going to talk about just some impressive things that family members are doing to support GLBT people coming out in their family. There's so many interesting stories. I'm so glad there's always something to talk about. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast. Queer and now.
Freezing on the beaches, reaching for the sweetest, sweetest peaches.